Through the magic of modern technology, Ray Kirstein produces this show while currently living in Germany. As remarkable as that level of global connection is, there is a world of difference among various nations in economic, cultural, and human terms. So even as most American cities have hosted LGBT pride parades during the month of June, as a matter of course, trying to do that in some other parts of the world is far more difficult and sometimes dangerous. Last weekend, Ray attended EuroPride 2015 in Riga, Latvia. I wanted to talk to Ray Kirstein about what a celebration of LGBT people in Latvia was like. And so this week, he's not only the producer for State of Belief Radio, he is a guest on the show he is producing. Ray, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you very much, Welton. I'm happy to be here.
So what in the world made you want to go to EuroPride 2015, and what events make up that event?
You know, in all honesty, a couple of years ago, friends and I almost went to Baltic Pride, which was a pretty risky attempt to organize a march in Vilnius, Lithuania. I have family roots there. We kind of changed our minds at the last minute, and I've felt some regret since then. Supporting these rights in the United States is usually much easier than putting yourself on the line in other parts of the world. And I just kind of felt an obligation and also an attraction to the organizing that was taking place. There were two fascinating seminars, each one a day long, one about LGBT rights and human rights in Central and Eastern Europe primarily, and one about the role of media in communicating on these issues. EuroPride culminated with a parade on Saturday in Riga, which featured a reported 5,000 participants, plenty of people waving and smiling and giving the thumbs up sign. And by my count, one egg from protesters. So overall, not a bad ratio at all.
Well, that is great, because there were fears of violence ahead of this parade also, I think, but that evidently things stayed peaceful.
You know, it was barely a month ago that the attempt at a pride march in Kyiv, Ukraine, resulted in injuries, some very serious, to police officers that were working to protect the handful of marchers against thousands of protesters, many of whom were hiding behind the facade of religious objection. And so it's far from a sure thing that something like this can be done safely. There were some protesters, a couple of signs that I saw, a few folks giving the thumbs down sign, but also plenty of people waving and smiling and giving the thumbs up sign.
How is opposition to gay rights there different than opposition to gay rights we see in the United States?
You know, the organized component of it is remarkably similar, and in fact, I think there's real reasons for that. Arguments are focused around making sure that traditional religious values are respected, and increasingly the argument is being made not just in one place, but quite universally in terms of children's rights. There's been extraordinary efforts made at the United Nations level in that regard. And unfortunately, a vast majority of the funding and strategy for that does come from the evangelical community in the United States, which is ironic because the anti-gay argument does tend to come down to, oh, look, this is Western secularism. This is corrupt moral values of the EU or of the West, of the United States. We see that argument made everywhere from Europe to Russia to Uganda. And in fact, it is the anti-gay forces that are usually, if not always, inspired by and supported by the West.
I know you well enough to know you came away from that event with some really good experiences in your mind, pleasant feelings, but you also came away worried about some concerns that you noted. What did you come away worried about?
You know, as impressive overall as the level of organizing and arguments and activism is among both folks in Latvia and the various nations that were represented there, and there were quite a few of them, including, by the way, a contingent from New York that was marching in the parade. Several times during the seminars, the question was raised about religious influence, Western evangelical religious influence in the policies that we were talking about. And the activists almost universally rejected that as being less than important. They said we're primarily a secular society. This is not really something that the church is playing any role in. And ultimately, the name Scott Lively didn't ring all that many bells, considering he has been bragging about and fundraising around touring Eastern Europe and Russia and setting up organizations to fight LGBT rights in all of these parts of the world. It's a little bit disappointing that there is this, what I would consider overconfidence in terms of vulnerability to religious-based arguments and rhetoric in opposition to human rights and LGBT rights, which is something I think we've learned to take seriously in the United States.
Ray, what was the strongest impression you brought back from EuroPride 2015 in Latvia?
There was a real stepping out of silos. Again and again, there was talk about human rights being promoted in terms of women's rights, reproductive rights, LGBT rights, leaving behind the model where everybody is focused exclusively on their own agenda. And it does feel like there is a growing momentum both across borders and across issues to work together to make progress, to ensure both the rights and safety of members of minority communities, and to do that in a concerted way, learn lessons from each other, and again, engage folks in allied interest groups so that the numbers are greater and the message is consistent.
Ray Kirstein has been the producer of State of Belief since 2010. I can honestly tell you that his expertise in broadcasting equals his passion for what we try to do here on State of Belief. Last weekend, Ray took part in EuroPride 2015 in Riga, Latvia, and I'm delighted that he was willing to share something from that experience with us. Ray, it doesn't make sense to say thanks for being with us, because you're always with us, thank goodness. But thanks for turning on your microphone and sharing these experiences on State of Belief.
Thank you very much, Welton. The invitation means a lot to me.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, I want to say a very sincere thank you. For those of you who thought you would make it this week and didn't get it done, now is the time to not let another week go by without doing that. The ongoing financial support of our listeners is essential to keeping this show on the air. If you find value in what you're hearing, and if you think it's important that more people hear what you're hearing, I urge you to join our other generous supporters today. Please visit stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stateofbelief.com is also where you can sign up for our free weekly podcast and find links mentioned during the show. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and share the stories that you find compelling with your friends. We really do need you to help spread the word about State of Belief. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. It's been a tough week, folks, filled with tears and anger, hate, forgiveness, moments of hope for positive change. There will be more of that, I'm sure. I hope this radio show has helped you get through the week a little bit better. That's why at the end of each of our shows, I say be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of government, religion, and politics. That's not a perfunctory comment. It is a really sincere hope. I say the closing words the same way, not as a perfunctory sign-off, but as a sincere wish. Until next week, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see what?